Daf is Daf Mem Beis. So the last three lines of Mem Aleph Mem Beis, the Gemara had been talking about the type of lishonos that were used for the paraduma and the simah shalech, that which was tied around it, which is used to wrap around the Eretz Nitalas. And so the Gemara says, last three lines, Ki Asir Rav Dimi, Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Israel. He reported to Bavel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he quoted from Rabbi Yochanan, as he oftentimes did, Shalosh Lishonos Shemati. I heard about three different Lishonos, three different threads or strings. Achas Shel Parah, Achas Shel Sar Mishalech, Achas Shel Mitzar. There are a total of three of them. Achas Mishkal Asar Zuv. One of them weighed Asar Zuvs. Achas Mishkal Shnei Shlam. One was a little bit lighter, which was only Shnei Shlam. V'achas Mishkal Shekel. One was only one shekel. V'ainli the Farish. Although that was the Masari, he wasn't sure which one was which. Which one had the tenzas? Which one was the Shnei Shlam? And which one was one shekel? Ki also Rabin, when Rabin came back from Eretz Yisrael, Pirsha Mishmei Rabbi Yonasan, he quoted, he explained from the Shita of Yonasan the following: Shel Para Mishkal Asarazuz. It was the para that was the heaviest. Why? As Rashi says in the top of Daf Membez, Dubai COVID. We learned yesterday that they needed to have a weight, needed to weigh down the Erez Shnitalas, so that was the heaviest. Shel Sira Mishaleach Mishkal Shnei Shlam. That was the next one, because you needed to divide that two. One had to tie around the Sar Lashem, one by the Sar Lazazel. And the Shel Mitzara Mishkal Shekel, that leaves by default, it must be that the Mitzara had the one Mishkal. So comes along now Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Pligi ba Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta v'Rabbanan. There is a machlokas bipara with respect to what type of weight lashon was used for the paraduma. So one of them holds, Chad Amar Mishkal Asara, it weighed 10. The Chad Amar Mishkal Shekel. So there is machlokas which lashon was used for the paraduma. The simanach, the simon to remember this is Echad Hamarbe ve'Echad Mamin. Meaning the first one said it was Asara, and the last one fell to his Mishkal Shekel, that's Echad Marbe ve'Echad Mamin. That's the simon, the mnemonic to remember the different shitas. So comes along Amrlo Rabbi Yirmi. Rabbi Yirmi Medifti, he says to the Ravina, Lo bipar pligi, no, there's never a machlokas with respect to the Parav Duma. Rather, Ella b'siyah mishalech pligi. They were debating about the simishalech, whether the simishalech, the lashon of the simishalech, was that of mishkal asara or was it mishkal shekel. Happens to be, Gemara points out, v'hahu yoma, that very day where they discussed the asar mishalech, the weight of the lashon, nach nafshe deravya bar kisi. This great tzaddik had passed away. The unchavei simana, and they said the following simon, Ravya bar kisma mechaper kisya mishalech. They said about him, he's such a great tzaddik, and it's, when a tzaddik dies, it's the same kapara, or it's similar in that a kapara is achieved as the asar mishalech. We look at Rashi. Rashi says, mechaper, misas tzaddikim mechaperes, the death of a tzaddik brings kapara. Kedamar ba'alma, we say in many places, the Gemara Moed Katan, for example, lama nismecha misas aron lebigdei kuhuna. Why is the death of Aaron juxtaposed to the big day kuna in the psukim? Loma lecha to tell us, ma big day kuna mechaperim af misas tzaddikim mechaperes. So it happened to be the day they discussed the Sir Meshalech is the day that Ravya bar Kisa, he passed away. So there's an interesting discussion. We know that there's a brought down halacha that when a person's yartar, the father, he's supposed to fast. And nowadays it's not practiced, the person makes a tikkun. But according to the Gemara and the straight reading of the halacha, one should fast on the day the father's yartar. Bnei Yeshua says, however, that's only true on the day when a father passes away. But on the day when a tzaddik passes away, he says that's not a yom tainus. He says the only reason why we have tainus atzom gedaya is because gedaya was killed by another Jew. So there's no kapara. But when a tzaddik passes away, there's a certain kapara in the world. There's a certain simcha in the world. So it doesn't call for a tainus. That's the understanding of Bnei Yeshua. It's almost a day of simcha. It's a hilula to a certain extent. The Shla argues, the Shla felt that no, it's actually a minag yafeh to fast on the day of the Rebbe Muvak, the day that he passes away, just like a person should fast the day that his father passes away. The Eli Rabba says, not true. Eli Rabba says, it doesn't make sense. The reason why that one fasts on the day of the Yartite is not because of a kavod for the father. Rather, it's because if it's a mazel ra. The father died this day, so it's a bad mazel for the rest of the family. Maybe they're going to have something bad happen to them, so they should fast as a kapar, as a true up for themselves. But when a Rebbe passes away, there's no shaykh, there's no mazel from a Rebbe to a Talmud, to which the Divrei Yotzev, the Klezmer, says it's not true, it's the opposite. Meaning, the father and son have a very strong relationship, but the Rebbe and a Talmud have an even greater relationship, so if there's bad mazel from a father to a son, Kavachomer, there could be bad mazel from a Rebbe to a Talmud, and therefore it does warrant one fasting. So different approach is what one's practice should be on the day of a Tainus, rather the day of a Yartid of a Rebbe. Should one, is it a day of Kapara, or is it a sad day, a day of mazel ra, and one should be fasting? Gemara now says, Vayit, around 10 lines down, Mem Beis Amud Aleph here. Last word on the line, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shtei Shchitos Shemati. I heard about two Shchitos. Before we were talking about Shlosh Lashonos, now we're talking about Shtei Shchitos. So I heard about two Shchitos, Shemati, Achas Shelpara, Vachas Shelpara, Paro, one with respect to the Paraduma, and one with respect to the Paro Shel Aaron, the par that Aaron or the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur. Achas Ksheira Bazar, Vachas Psul Bazar. One of them, a czar, a non-Kohen allowed to shecht, and the other one, a czar, is disqualified from shechting. V'loya dana heiminai. But I'm not sure which one's acceptable by a czar, which one is not. That's the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. So Itmar, it was said, shchitas para uparo, Rabu Shmuel had a machlokes, chadamar para psula, paro ksheir. One felt that para duma is disqualified by a czar, while the paro shel aron is acceptable by a czar, and one said the reverse. V'chadamar paro psula, yet the para ksheira. So that's a machlokas, which is which. Tistaim, the Gemara wants to conclude, it must be Tistaim de Ravu, that my para psula. How do we know that Rav is the one who felt that the para duma is pasul ay de zar? Dama Rebizera said, Shchitas para bizar psula, vizar shech said para duma, it's disqualified. And on that, Amar Rav, Allah, Rav commented on that, Elazar v'chuka sheninaba. It says in Parshas Chukas by the Paraduma, it says Elazar, who's a Kohen, it says v'chuka, which means it's la'akev, it's li'ikuva. So since by the Paraduma it says Elazar v'chuka, that's the source that a zar is puzzle. So that's Rav's comment. So it must be Rav holds that a para is puzzle, but paro is acceptable. So now the Gemara challenges Rav. So, okay, it says Elazar and chuka by Paraduma. But Rav, maishna para, Dichsiv Elazar v'chuko, paro, the paro shel Aaron, by Yom Kippurim also nami, hoksiv Aaron v'chuka. So shouldn't that also indicate that only a Kohen could perform the avoda of Yom Kippurim, the paro, not a zar? So Gemara says, shchita lav avodi. No, shchita is not an avodi. By the Yom Kippurim, the shchita is not an avoda, and therefore it's acceptable even in Shaloi de Kohen. What does it mean, a shchita is not an avodi? So Tosus quotes three shitas. I'm not going to go through the whole shakar v'tari, but I'll just the three shitas quickly. He says the first line. He says shchita lav avoda. He quotes in Rashi, but chol duchti all over shas. Rashi says mishum deksheir bazar, because a zar could do it by virtue of the fact that a zar could do the shchita tells me that's not an avodi. That's one shot he says. The other shot he says, because he quotes from Rabbeinu Yaakov Merolins later on in Tosus. He says, because since you do shchita by chulin, must be shchita even by kachim is also a non avoda. Kabbalah, Holacha, Zrika, you don't do by chulin. But shchita you do by chulin, by regular animals, you do by chulin, you do by kachim, must be shchita is not a voda. Not because a zar could do it, but because it's done by chulin. That's the Rabbi Yaakov Merolin's understanding. And there's a third shot, he quotes from Rabbeinu Shimshon, the reason why not, because Kabbalah must be done when standing inside the Beis HaMikdash. Shchita, one could do standing outside as long as his hand goes in the Beis HaMikdash. But since the entire body can be outside, that's what it means, shchita lavavodihi. So they're all true. The question is, what is it driving force? Is it because the Zara could do it? Is it because it's done by chulin? Or is it because a person could theoretically stand outside when doing the shchita? Either way, shchita is lavavodihi, and for that reason...
By chulin, you mean like to eat kosher?
Yeah, kosher food, yeah, exactly. Regular kosher food, exactly. So the Gemara says, since shchita is lavavodihi, that's why by the power shel Aaron, a Zara is allowed to do the shchita. So according to this logic, asks the Gemara, Ihachi, Paranami, Paroso, the shechting the Paraduma, that shchita is also lava vodi. So just like a czar could do the Paro, could do the Paro because it's shchita lava vodi, he should also be able to do the Paraduma because shchita lava vodi. Gemara says, no. Shiny Para, Para is different because it kodshe bedek abayis. It's very different, a very different category. While the Paro shel Aaron, Yom Kippurim, it's kodshim, it's beach, it's kedusha guf, the animals are real kodshim. Paraduma is not inherently kadosh. It's only kedushas domim. It's just in terms of the value, but it's not inherently kadosh. That's a larger discussion based on elsewhere, but certainly only kadosh betek abai. It's a lower level. So Gemara says, then it's a lav kol dechenu. Is this not a kavachomer? Meaning if a czar is able to do the shchita of the paraduma, which is only kedushas domim, certainly a czar should... If a czar is able to the parashal aron, which is a kadosh mizbeach, Kavachomer the Tzar should be able to do the Kadosh Bedek Abayis, which is a much lower level, which is Shchita seems to be more irrelevant by the Bedek Abayis than it is by a real Kadoshim of the Yom Kippur. So Gemara says, no, this is the understanding. Amar Rav Sheisha Bered Rav Idi, Midi Dahava Amaros Negaim. It's no different than Maros Negaim of a Kohen looking at the Negaim, Negatras, Delav avodehi ubaikuna. You don't need avod. It's not avodah. That by negatras, that there are different types of areas that the Kohanim are involved in. There are certain areas that are avodos and other areas that are not avodos. So when it comes to that which is an avodah, like the Beis HaMikdash, so only Kohanim have to do that which is an avodah. Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. Shechita is not avodah, so that's outside the category. But when you deal like an area of Maros Negarim, which is nothing to do with avodah, avodah is not the criteria. The Kohen does everything regarding negatras. So through Kajay Bedek Abayis, a Paraduma is not an avodah. So we're not figuring out what's an avodah, what's not an avodah, Shechita is not an avodah, Kabbalah is an avodah. No, it's not the world of avodah at all. It's a completely different category like Maros Negarim. And therefore, it's not a kasha just because a zar could do the shechita of Kachi Bet Gabayis of the Parashah Aaron doesn't mean a zar could do the shechita of Paraduma. Just like the zar can't do Maris Negarim, he also cannot do the shechita of the Paraduma. So Gemara now says, the last 10 lines or so of the Amun. Ulishmuel damar paro psula. Now that's all shechita's Rav. Rav felt the para aduma is possible by the zar. The Parashah Aaron is acceptable by a zar. Shmuel says the reverse. Shmuel damar paro psula. Paro shel Aaron of Yom HaKippurim is possible by a zar. So maishna paro. Why is a paro disqualified by a zar? The chsiv it says in the pasuk Aaron v'chuka. Aaron the Kohen and nechuka means a likuva. So it must be that the paro shel Aaron must be done by a Kohen. So Gemara says the same lines. Paranami haksiv alazar v'chuka. By the paraduma it says also alazar who is a skan Kohen gadol, and it says chuka. Gemara says shiny hasim over there is different. The reason why Shmuel accepts a zar doing the paraduma is because it says v'shachat oso lefanav, that the person should shecht it in front of him. What does that mean? Elazar was the one who did the previous stage in the process of the paraduma. So it says that the way he says shachat, he shechts it in front of him. Shehezar shochet ve'elazar roeh. Lefanav is going on Elazar, that Elazar should observe the shechita. Someone who's not Elazar, a non-Kohen, should do the Shechita in the presence of Elazar. So there's a special Gzeres HaKosev that allows a Zar to do the Shechita of the Paraduma. So Rav, what does Rav do the Pasuk of V'shachat Osa Lefanav? He allows, he says a Zar cannot do the Avodah, cannot do the Shechita by Paraduma. So Rav, Shelo Yisiach Daita Mimenu. What it means is that when Elazar, the Kohen, must do the Shechita of the Paraduma. But it's not enough for him to just do the Shechita. He has to be shachat also lefanav. He must be in front of him the whole time. He must pay attention. He cannot be mesiach daito from it. And that's what Rav learns. Shmuel, shelo yesiach daito minale. How does Shmuel know that a person cannot lose his focus when he's doing the avodah? He can't use the pasuk v'shachat also lefanav because that teaches that a zar could do it. What's his basis? So nafgalei mi v'saraf es hapara le'enav. He must burn it in his presence, in his eyes. He must keep his eyes on the paraduma the entire time. That's the source according to Shmuel. So now Rav has two sources. Rav learns Sarf es para lefanav le'enav, and he also learns Shachat osa lefanav, two different sources to teach me shelo yisiach daito. So why do you need two pshukim for Rav? So Rav explains, chad b'shchita v'chad b'sreifa. We need to teach me that the shchita you have to pay attention, and another pasuk that by sreif you have to pay attention. V'tzich, we need both. Why need both? Because the kasi rachmana b'shchita, if it only taught us that you have to pay attention by the shchita, Mishum de Tchilas Avodah, that's the beginning of the process. So maybe when you started off, you need that initial oomph, the initial kavana. Fine. About Sreifa, Imalo, but maybe by the Sreifa, where you don't need that, maybe it's at the end of the process. Tzricha, even by the Sreifa, you have to have the Mesiach Daita. You love Mesiach Daita. Vikasirachamana b'Sreifa, have we taught only by the Sreifa that you have to pay attention, the Kohen must pay attention, Mishum Dehashu Demiskashe Par, because after the burning, now you've created a Parduma that's able to be Metahar. This is the final step in the whole process here. So that's the Iker, and maybe that requires a Kavana. About Shechita, the Shechita which is only beginning, it's so far away from the final product, maybe you don't need proper Kavana there, Eimalo, Tzicha, that's why you need Psukim, both by the Shechita and by the Shrefa. So now the Gemara wants to know, okay, so you need Kavana for the Shechita, you need Kavana for the Shrefa. When don't you need kavana? What's it coming to exclude? Lemute mai. When do you not need kavana? So shchita and shreifa, we already know. So Gemara is going to say, Elaim, if you're going to tell me lemute to exclude asifa seifara, when they gather up the ashes of the paraduma, or the milui mayim, or the drawing up of the water, or the kiddush, or pouring the water on top of the afer, maybe those steps don't require kavana. If that's what you're going to tell me, that you can be mesich daito from asifa seifara and milui mayim the kiddush, that can't be the case, because the pasuk says, as the Gemara quotes on Amr Beis here, L'mishmeres l'mei nidaksiv. You need to preserve it the entire time. Rashi says, L'mishmeres l'mei nida, mashma ditzrichi shimur ad sheyazameham. You need to protect it, preserve it, until you've actually sprinkled the water. So this word, L'mishmeres, is going on the Asifa Seifara, on the Milui Mayim and Kiddush Mayim. So which stage in the process of the Paraduma do you not need to have the proper focus and kavana? So Gemara says, Ella must be the Mu'ute Hashlachas Eitz Erez V'Ezov Ushni Talas. These items, that when you throw these items in, that you don't have to have a proper kavana, Delav Gufa Deparninu. These are not the part of the Paraduma. All the other things of the ashes and the shechting and the burning, all that had to do with the actual Paraduma. This is separate from the Paraduma, and therefore you don't have to have the proper focus when throwing in the Eitz Erez Ezov V'Shni Talas. So now the Gemara says further, we mentioned again on Amud Aleph, this machlokas about whether Zar could do the shechita of the Paraduma, the Paro Shel Arum. So Gemara quotes another machlokas, same exact machlokas, but different people, Itmar. Shechitas Para, Bizar, Rebbe Ami Amar Kshera, Rebbe Yitzchak Nafcha Amar Psula, and Ula Amar Kshera, Varmila Psula. So again, this is a machlokas that carried through many generations of the Amorim. So Gemara is now going to go through not complex, but a bit of a long-winded kasha, according to against the Rav. So Gemara says, "Meisiva Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba l'siyu l'Rav." He raised a question which is in support of Rav, but against Shmuel. So what does Rav say? Look at Rashi, two lines from the top here. That first line, "L'siyu l'Rav damar para shchitasa bizar psula." Rav said a zar cannot shecht a paraduma, and Shmuel said a zar can shecht a paraduma. So we're going to bring a brisa that's in support of Rav again, that a zar may not shech the paraduma. So what's the brisa? It's a very long-winded brisa. Ein li ela hazaz, and it's also a lot of details that we're just learning about, getting familiar with. The Gemara is going to go through different steps of the paraduma, and different steps of whether, it can be done bayom or balayla, an isha versus an ish, different factors coming together. So ein li ela hazaz me meha, I only know by the sprinkling of the actual water, she'ein k'sherin b'isha kibish, that although a man could do it, the woman cannot do that much. I know from the psukim, we'll see in tomorrow's dav, I think, the psukim for this, v'ein k'sherin el bayom, I also know you can only do this during the day. So that's a given. Based on the psukim, hazas me'meh, sprinkling the water, can only be done by a man and by yom. Minayin, how do I know the rabos shchitasa, the kabbalas dama, v'azaz dama, v'seifasa, v'ashlachas eitz erez, v'ezov ushni talas. How do I know these steps as well have the same exact dinim, that they're only kasher bayom? So the Gemara says, tamalomar Torah. The word Torah comes, zos taras achukas Torah, Torah achas l'chol avodasa, says Rashi. To include them all under the same din, that has to be done bayom. So yachal shani marba afa sifas eifara, umila mayim v'kidash. I might extend this pasuk to include that even the gathering of the ashes, the drawing of the water, the pouring of the water in the kli and the afar, all that also must be done only by yom. Tamalomar zos. Zos is a word that excludes that these things are not the subject to the requirement of bayom. You can even do them by laila. So mara yitzel rabo says elu. Lhot says elu. It sounds a bit arbitrary. How can we include these steps, but we excluded these steps? Why do we draw a line this way? So the Gemara explains because as follows. Acha shariba kasav umid. After the pasuk, one pasuk Torah comes to include, and another pasuk Zos Miat excludes. Amris, I have to say the following distinction: Hare Anu LeMeidim. We learn Kulan MeHazas MeMeh. Hazas MeMeh is the source. That's the source we're using to teach us which avodas are restricted to Bayom and which ones are not. So that's the source. MaHazas MeMeh Einan K'sherin BeIsh Kibisha. There's another unique factor, not unique, but another din by the Hazas MeMeh, that only a man could do hazas meimah. And also, v'ein k'sherin el bayom. Those two factors are true. Only a man can do the hazah, and only bayom. So, based on that, afani avi, so too I will include shchitasa, v'kabalas dama, v'azaz dama, v'sreifasa, v'shlachas eitz erez, v'ezo, v'shitlas, all these, because I already have as a given, whole v'ein k'sherin b'isha, Kibish, I already know from elsewhere, we'll see tomorrow, that only a man could do these. So once he already has that din, that a man must do them, we could extend it also, Ein K'sherin El Bayom. So that's why we included that whole long list of things that only Bayom, as opposed to, Umotziani Asivas Eifara, These three steps actually may be done by women. So if they can be done by women, they can also be perhaps, and the Gemara concludes, acceptable, bein bayom, bein balayda. So that's the whole long price. Okay, makes a lot of sense. Anyways, hi mait yufta. What's the question? We have brought this as a question to try to prove that a zar cannot do the shechita. We didn't mention anything about a zar here. Spoke about Bayom, spoke about Isha. Where is the tiyufta to Shmuel who holds that a zar can do shechita of the paraduma? Elaim, if you're going to tell me, mide psulin b'isha psulnami bazar, if you're going to tell me, because since this price approved that women are possible from doing the shechita, so maybe also zar is possible from doing the shechita, maybe that's the question, that's the tiyufta. So, hazas meimeh tochiach. So, that's not a proof. You can't make that jump, because look, hazas meimeh. Hazas meimeh, the din is shep psulin b'isha. A woman may not do the hazah, yet shem bazar. A zar can do the hazas meimeh. So don't make the jump that shechita. If an isha cannot do shechita, that means a zar cannot do the shechita. No, maybe the zar can do the shechita, just like by the hazas meimeh. So Gemara says Amar Bai says Hainu Tiyufta. This is the very question. Isha. My time. What is the reason why a woman cannot do the shechita? Because Elazar v'lo Isha. Zar nami Elazar v'lo Zar. Because you go back to the source. The source of a woman not being able to do shechita is the word Elazar. Elazar is not a woman. Elazar is also not a Zar. And that's the very question, that it should be the same logic that a Zar should be puzzled, disqualified. And that's how we bring this as a raya for Rav and a kashya to Shmuel. Gemara now says, Amr Ula, we know that Paraduma is one of the most confusing areas, one of the hardest, if not the hardest areas to understand. It's a chok. So based on that, Amr Ula says, Kola Parsha Kula, the entire Parsha, Mashma Motzi Miyad Mashma. I'll re-rash in a second, but just one pasuk, the Mashma is one pasuk, will be Motzi, will remove and change the understanding of a previous Miyad Mashma, of a previous understanding of pasuk. And sometimes, Mashma Melan, sometimes the pasukim will be consistent. So you have no idea how to separate the different things. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says a little bit better than I just said it. Rashi says the last 10 narrow lines down here, Mashma Motzi Miyad Mashma, or Mashma Memela. Kishadikdek Ba, when you are precise in reading the Pesukim, Ein Chayachal L'Hashros Shitas HaParsha B'Shava, you can't read and understand the Pesuk in an equal way. So you call Mikrael Shav and Zed, that all Pesukim are reading seamlessly. Ella, Yeshvan, there's some Pesukim, Shemashma Mikra Zeh, Motzi Michlal Mashma Mimikra Lefanov. That one pasuk will have an implication that excludes or precludes something that was mentioned earlier. And Masha Pasul Zeh, Hech Shazeh, or Masha Hech Shazeh, Pasul Zeh. That which one pasuk accepts, the other pasuk rejects, and vice versa. That's some understanding of pasukim. It's like an up and down, like a wave. But yet there are other pasukim, V'yesh Bamikraos, Mashmos Shemis Kaimin, Mimela, Mimashmov. Other pasukim that follow will continue the assumptions of the previous pasukim. So it's a very, very confusing topic, as we know. So Gemara says now that v'nasatam osa el Elazar ha-kohen, you should give it to him, give it, nasatam osa, give the paraduma to Elazar, so the ha-kohen, so the Gemara says osa it, la-lazar, v'lo-ladoros, la-lazar. It sounds like osa only that first, the very first paraduma, that was the times of Moshe and Aaron and Elazar, should be given to Elazar, who is a skan kohen gadol. But the implication is, Ladaros, it doesn't go to Aaron, it doesn't go to Elazar. It does not go to the Skan Kohen Gadol. Well, if it doesn't go to him, who does it go to? So Ladaros, Ikadamri Ladaros Bekohen Gadol, Vikadamri Ladaros Bekohen Hedu. We can go two directions. One direction could be we're going to go higher, that although Elazar was a unique situation where the Skan Kohen Gadol did it, in the future you must have the Kohen Gadol, or in the future you could have a Kohen Hedu. So the two different directions one could go. So Bishmai, understand the Mandam or Ladaros Bekohen Hedu chapter. I get the one who holds, if it's not the Skana Kohen Gadol Elazar, so Mimela, the default would be a Kohen. Because why would you think a Kohen Gadol? So it makes sense that a Kohen Hedyot should be doing the Avoda of Parduma Ladoros. Elaman Damar Ladoros, the Kohen Gadol Minola. Where is the source? Why would you think the Kohen Gadol, only where it says Kohen Gadol, does the Kohen Gadol have to be involved in the Avoda? But where does it say Kohen Gadol in the Parduma? It doesn't mention it anywhere. So why would one think Ladoros, it should go to the Kohen Gadol? And the Gemara says, Minola, Gamar, Chuka, Chuka by Yom Kippurim. We have a Gezeira Shava, says Chuka by Paraduma, says Chuka by Yom Kippurim, and since that's the case, we know the Yom Kippur Avoda must be done by a Kohen Gadol, so the Paraduma must be done by the Kohen Gadol according to this man Damar. So now we can raise a question, if it's true that Lasa Lavo, Ladaros, that the Kohen Gadol is the one to perform the Avoda, the Paraduma, why was Aaron a Kohen Gadol not involved in the Paraduma in the Midbar? Wasn't he the Kohen Gadol? Wouldn't he be the best representative of the Paraduma? To which Ramban says there are two reasons why not. One reason he says because a Paraduma, one understanding is it's supposed to be a kapara for the Cheder Egel. And since Aaron was involved in the Cheder Egel, he wasn't roy to be involved in the Paraduma. That's one shot. Then Ramban has a second shot, which is a completely different direction. He says no. Because Aaron was so great, and the Paraduma was a avoda that was done b'chutz, it was inappropriate for Aaron, who was so great, to do some type of avoda that was b'chutz. So they gave it to the Skan Kohen Gadol. But Ladoros, where the future Kohen Gadolim won't be as great as Aaron, it won't be beneath the kavod to do the Paraduma, even though it's an avoda b'chutz. Let's finish off the daf now. The Gemara then says, V'hotzi elsa shel yotzi acheres ima. The Pasuk says you should take out osa, the Paraduma, only the Paraduma, and you should not bring another Paraduma with it. Kizetan, the Mishnah tells us, L'haisa para rotze latzis. Let's say the para was being very stubborn, and the Paraduma does not want to go out to be shechted in the whole process. What do you do? So one eitzah is to bring it, want some company. You bring its mother, you bring its father, you bring its friend. The Mishnah says, Ein motzin ima shchara. You can't bring a black cow to accompany the red cow, because one might say, oh, they're probably shechting the black cow. The Ein Motzini Ma Aduma, even another red cow you can't bring out with it. So they shouldn't suggest that they're shechting two karbanos. And what's wrong with two karbanos? Two paradumas, rather. If you look at Rashi, four lines up from the bottom here, the Kai Milan, we assume, Shekol Malachos Hanasas Ima Poselas Osa, any malacha done with it is disqualified, and kol osik b'parah mitchil v'atzof posen oso b'mlacha, and we have l'kama nami amri, we say, v'shachar oso shlo yishkot acheres ima. You can't do any mlacha along with it. It must be very isolated, very exclusive to one paraduma. But to have another paraduma with it, that will disqualify the whole process, so we don't want people to think that you're shechting two at the same time. So you can't bring anything with it, lest people say otherwise. That's all the Tanakama. Rebbe Omer, lo min Hashem, who said, that's not the reason. You know why you can't bring another paraduma or another cow with it? A black cow even? El Mishim Shinemar, Osa Levada, it's a pasuk, it's a gzeres hakasuk, Osa Levada, Levado, V'lacher. So while the Tanakhama was just concerned with the reason that what people might say, the Rebbe felt was a din deraisa, it was a gzeres hakasuk. So Tanakhama, Hoksiv Osa. So Tanakhama, what do they do with the word Osa? They just thought it was just a concern of Mar's iron of some sorts. But what do they do with the pasuk, Osa? Gemara says, no, man Tanakama. Who is the author of the Tanakama? Who is the Tanakama? It's Rabbi Shimon, the Darish time of the Krah. Meaning Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds the Pasuk Osa. That's the reason also. But he's able to Darish the time of the Krah and explain why, what's behind the Pasuk. Why must the animal go out by itself? Because, Shlo Yomu, people shouldn't say this, you shouldn't say that. But they both agree that Osa. They're arguing about whether you could provide the reasoning. So, Ma'i B'nai, what's a Nafkamina? Ika B'nai, the Nafkamina is a Dafik Chamer B'hadeh. So you could bring a donkey with it. Is that allowed? So if you bring a donkey with it, according to Rabbi Shimon, who darshed the time of the Krah, no one's going to think you're shechting a donkey with the animals. That's fine. But according to Rabbi, who just embraced the pasuk alone, the gezeres hakasuv of osa, then even a donkey would not be considered alone. Has to be osa, no other cows and no other donkeys, no nothing. So that would be the nafkamina. So let's quickly recap what we did. We discussed at the beginning the three lashonos of the paraduma, the sima shaleach, and the tzara, which weights of each of them. There machlokasim, unclear how we pass in the end of the day. And then we discuss pretty much the rest of the daf about a shechita of the paro versus the para. That was machlokas, whether Zar could do either one. We went back and forth about this. It says Aaron v'chuka to indicate the Zar should be possible from the Yom Kippurim, but it also says Elazar v'chuka by the paraduma to say that should be disqualified. So we went back and forth to these different dinim. We discussed then the importance of having Shalom Yisiech Daito by the paraduma. Why two psukim according to Rav, one for shechita, one for sreifa? We need pasuk for both because shechita is the beginning of the process, sreifa is the end of the process. And we said the truth is all the steps of paraduma requires the proper focus, with the exception of the hashlachas, eitz erez, the eiz of ushnit las. Those are not part of the paraduma gufa, and therefore does not need the proper kavana. And we had the whole long-winded brisa about which avodas that must be done by yom and which must be done by men, not versus women. And then Ula had that statement that the entire parsha is backwards, not backwards, but it's back and forth, or it's consistent. Unclear how to figure out the psukim. It's there's no smooth way to understand all the psukim. They all change. And then we said one drashi mentioned, although Elazar Skana Kohen Gadol was doing the avoda, the paraduma in the base in the midbar. Lasalavo, there's a machlok is whether the Kohen Hedio does it Ladaros or whether or not the Kohen Gadol must do it Ladaros. And finally, Votziosa, you can't bring another para with the paraduma. Machlok is whether there's a reason, what people might say, or because it's a pasuk osa, nafkamina being whether or not you could bring a chum or a donkey or some other animal, whether that would be permitted or not.